Welcome to the Supplement Engineer Podcast. My name is Robert Chinetsky. Today, we are joined by a gentleman who needs very little introduction, the CEO of Caged Muscle Supplements and bodybuilder, Chris Gethin. Thank you for joining the show today, sir.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on.
You've been in the game a long time, Chris, and people are familiar with your backstory, your training principles. I'd like to get some of the origin stories of actually Caged Muscle. What was it about starting the brand, joining up with the people that wanted to develop the brand? What was it about? Was it bad experiences with other supplements? Because we know the supplement industry is very, very crowded. What is it that you saw that you could deliver and bring to the industry that nobody was doing prior to?
It was the massive disconnect between health and fitness. You know, a lot of people or bodybuilders and such are seen as being relatively fit. Look, they got their abs. They got the pack, the six pack, but very few of them are healthy, you know. So there's a huge disconnect there. And I've been bodybuilding for over 20 years now, competed as a natural bodybuilder, as a professional for many, many years. And it was at the stage where I had the accountability to viewers, to listeners on social platforms when I started putting out videos and video trainers. Now, all of a sudden, not only am I, you know, advising and recommending exercise and nutrition, but it's supplementation as well. So with that, I'd say, being an authoritative figure to a certain degree, I had to ensure that, you know, I had complete transparency. So I started getting some of the brands that I was taking tested. And when I got some of those tests back, I was in disarray. I was in shock because some of the brands that, you know, nobody had heard of that I was taking came out on top with a lot of those tests. Mm-hmm. But some of the brands that were the best sellers and the ones that we all know and we've heard of came out far under par. So that's when I thought, well, okay, I'm going to have to start sourcing these ingredients myself and start mixing my own based on the efficacious dosages that I need to help me perform and that I'll suggest. But it isn't efficient for anybody to go out there and source raw ingredients right. to mix together themselves. So that's when I started talking to my now partners, including Brian Rand, mm-hmm. who is just an unbelievable formulator, to come up with Caged Muscle. And we all agreed that, okay, if we're going to put something together based on our wishes, it's not going to be a high-margin brand by any means. You know, it has to be something that we want to deliver, that's something different, that merges the health sector with the sports performance sector. So after about 18 months of sourcing ingredients and traveling to various countries, that's when we launched our first run of single-fill ingredients. Mm-hmm.
What challenges did y'all experience in the early days of getting the company off the ground?
It was definitely the finances, something like that. When you're looking at the ingredients that we put in there, whether they're patented, fermented, organic, and with all the certifications that we wanted to go through, it cost not thousands, but over $1 million mm-hmm. in order to create, just to start something. So that was a big challenge. And then the challenge we knew that we was going to face straight after that, like I said, trying to make this supplement company affordable, because we should be so much more expensive than what we are, especially if you look at the models that other supplement companies build themselves upon for that margin in order to grow and to market. Mm-hmm. So we knew, okay, we're not going to be able to spend much money in marketing whatsoever. We're not going to have the margins that other brands do. So we're just going to have to really put our hands together and hope that people recognize the quality with their loyalty and continue to purchase.
Do you find that consumers are willing to pay the extra cost that they will incur for the organic, the vegan-friendly ingredients, the certified ones, the fermented ones, the sustainably sourced ingredients? Do you find that there's any kind of pushback from the consumer saying, hey, we're okay with buying the generic or the lower quality ingredients if it saves us $5 or $10 per product tub?
Yeah, there's a huge pushback. You know, that's the unfortunate position that we find ourselves in this world. You only have to look at the landscape of the food industry to see what the supplement industry would look like. So if you see fast food everywhere and you see the line of cars going up to them, However, there's not as many people going to shop at like their Boise Co-op or their farmer's market or the Whole Foods. Then you can see the disarray that happens in the supplement industry as well. It's the exact same model. And unfortunately, it's something that we have to continue to educate the consumer that they need to invest in the most important asset that they own, and that's their life. You know, of course, we want to perform our best. We want to look our best. But if that's going to potentially harm ourselves, then why should we do it? Well, people do it because it's affordable and they prefer to invest that money elsewhere. And let's face it, you know, the supplement industry is going to be a lot more confusing than the food industry. Right. McDonald's, Taco Bell, Wendy's, they're not telling you they're the healthiest food out there. They're not doing that. Where in the supplement industry, everyone's telling you they're the best. So it's very confusing for the consumer to make the right decision. And we can only provide education in order for them to make that unbiased decision. Mm-hmm.
What is it? Because obviously everybody has that opportunity to reach for that really quick cash grab, go for the underdosed products, go for the cheaply made ingredients. You know, and if somebody is purely motivated by money and success, and obviously you're a company, so you do want to, you do care about the bottom line to a certain extent, but what is it? Is it something innate in you and the other people that you're working with the company with that prevents you from making that quick cash grab and not trying to screw people over? Because just marketing a supplement with given your reach and your popularity in the industry, you could very easily come out with some 2 gram prop blended pixie dusted supplement and make millions off of it. So what is it that drives you to want to make quality products for people?
Because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not going to live forever. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to be on my deathbed and think, wow, I spent a lot of my life selling snake oil. Because I know, speaking to people in, you know, retirement villages or in a hospice, I know there's a lot of regret there. I don't want to have that. I don't see my success in materialistic possessions or how much money I have in my bank. I see my success in helping people transform their lives, sometimes save their lives. That's where I see my success. And I don't want to, and I'm very fortunate that I've got some business partners that feel the exact same way. You know, if I'm going to make money elsewhere, I could easily do that. I get offered, you know, quite a lot of money to personal train a lot of the time, which I do online, but not in person as I once did. And, you know, I had an energy drink approach me, an energy drink company approach me about 18 months ago. It's going to offer me $30,000 a month and keep, you know, continue with Cage Muscle.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be correct. It wouldn't be correct. Knowing the ingredients that was in that energy drink, mm-hmm. I just would not be able to promote it. And, you know, I feel good that when I'm with my family in Wales, I can say, here, have some of this. Try this. It's absolutely fine. Right. And put my hand on my heart and know that they'll be okay. And there's other people, there's other CEOs out there that can't say that. I don't want to be there.
Well said, well said. Earlier you mentioned that health and fitness and health and wellness was a prime motivator for getting into and starting the brand initially. Do you see Caged Muscle trending more towards that direction in the coming years as the company continues to grow and expand its reach? It's because it has a lot of performance-based supplements right now. Do you see it gravitating more towards health and wellness over the years and becoming kind of more of this all-encompassing brand?
Maybe, but what we're trying to do is provide sports performance supplements in a healthier manner. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want the artificial colors, the artificial flavors. You know, we want to ensure that we adhere to the Prop 65 Act because we know, you know, what the adverse effects of heavy metal contaminants can do, you know. Right. We do see an expansion there, but, you know, we're always going to have our pivotal foot in the sports performance sector because at the end of the day, whilst I'm on this earth, I want to kick ass. I don't want to slow down anytime soon. You know, performance is very, very important to me, but so is my health. So if I can combine, you know, the sports performance and, you know, like I said, kicking ass with the health sector and the longevity and increasing our health span, and that's what we'll do.
Excellent. You've been training for a very long time. How have you seen, both from as a consumer and as a user of supplements, how have you seen the industry change from when you first started natural bodybuilding?
Oh, well, it's huge. Well, everything tastes a lot better now. That's for sure. You know, you don't have to hold your nose trying to get down to supplements. But I'd say that the main thing is that it is steering towards the health. Obviously, there was no such thing as pre-workouts then, so the energy aspect of the industry has definitely grown. You only have to look at, you know, companies like Bang to see their growth, to see it. You know, that is definitely right. Something that people really invest in, especially in America. Americans love caffeine. They love that caffeine fix or some sort of energy fix. So I definitely see it here because it does mm-hmm. change from culture to culture. There's no doubt about it. But here in the US, no doubt. And what we've seen now, I'd say over the past 5 years, is definitely a more importance towards health. You know, you see the growth of whole foods. You see how large that supplement sector is starting to grow. You see it in vitamin shop because they're merging both the health and the sports supplement sector together. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a growth there. There's definitely more investment going into that. And obviously the plant-based sector. A lot of people are investing in, you know, plant-based proteins, or if they have caps, they want their veggie caps as opposed to their gelatin-based caps.
Correct.
So we see a lot of people wanting that as well. So I hope it's going to continue to go that way because, you know, we constantly look back to our ancestors to see what they did mm-hmm. to help with them and their longevity, as opposed to being exposed to the huge amount of statistics that we see, whether it be diabetes, obesity, cancer, Alzheimer's, etc. Mm-hmm. And I just hope that people will invest the same as they do into biohacking their health or with nutrition as they will with supplements as well. Because whenever I have my clients do a blood test or food allergy test, we're all mostly voiding something. Mm-hmm. So supplements have to fill in those gaps. And I hope more and more people will see that it's not just for bigger biceps and diced quads.
Excellent. Back to your competing days when you're coming up through the natural ranks, how widespread was supplement use in general? I mean, I'm pretty sure most of the guys were probably using creatine, but what is, I've always wondered, is the trend to use performance boosting supplements more for the amateur and the casual gym rats and not for the guys that are actually competing on the higher levels? Can you give us some insight into that?
Well, not in natural bodybuilding for sure. A lot of people are taking, all the natural bodybuilders that I know are all taking supplements. We all want that little tiny edge. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I remember when I first started, I bought everything that Medirex put out, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had the sugar-laden creatine. It tasted great. And, you know, I was expecting massive gains and nothing came of it. And I had the Cybergenics kit before that. And then, you know, after time, I realized, okay, it's just that edge. It's just that 3% that we're all chasing because we're all killing ourselves in the gym. And we have devoted our life to it. So we'll take that 1% to 3% extra edge. Mm-hmm. So everybody in the natural bodybuilding industry is taking it. Like you said, it'd be the creatine. It'd be obviously the protein, sometimes carbohydrate drinks, HMB. Obviously multivitamins and glutamine and all the staples. Mm-hmm. And then later on would come the formulations such as the pre-workouts, the intra-workouts and stuff like that. But we was all taking it. I've noticed in the IFBB ranks, more of the bodybuilders there don't take the supplements.
Right.
I'd say that's where they rely upon a little bit more of their food and their extracurricular supplementation.
Yeah, they've got some special sports supplements is the way I like to describe those. Since you're originally from Wales and you spent some time in the US and you've also done a good bit of work in the East as well in India. So how have you seen the supplementation game differ between those three land masses?
Yeah, well, in the UK, it's very much on par with, I'd say, the US now. Mm-hmm. It's took a while to catch up, but there's a lot of good companies in the UK that are starting to come through the ranks. And I know some of the people there, you know, like Alan Browett, who owns Grenade, like just to see his mm-hmm. growth in that country alone has been unbelievable. So there's definitely a demand for it. In India, it's very, very fragmented. There's a lot of black market supplements there. It's terrible, and they're very, very good at replicating the supplements. Like I've seen some replicants, and they're unbelievable, really, really unbelievable. But you know, if you go to sources that are reputable over there, you can get those supplements. But there's a lot of cheaper, inferior supplements there because, unfortunately, in the East and specifically in India, they do charge 100% in taxes in that country, which is huge. Yeah, if you want to drive a Mercedes over there, you're paying twice the amount. It's crazy. And then you have the, you know, the taxes, you have the postage mm-hmm. that you have to pay. Also, you know, it's a lot of money and a lot of people don't have money there. So they end up going for local companies, which don't have the same premium ingredients that's available to us in the US. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like I said, it's black market, it's tainted. So, you know, it's the unfortunate position that they're in over there. You know, there's nothing we can do about it because obviously we sell cage muscle supplements there throughout my gym franchise. Mm-hmm. And people often say, I can't buy your supplements. They're too expensive. Or why are they expensive? Why are you charging so much?
Right.
And I have to explain every time, hey, it's not us charging. It is your country that is charging. Take it up with your authorities. Don't keep complaining to me. But the one thing that I'll say about India now as well, over the past 10 years, what we are seeing there in regards to the growth in for gyms, the health sector, supplements, is pretty mm-hmm. much what happened here in the U.S., in the 80s when you had people like Van Damme and Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger dominating the silver screen. Mm-hmm. Now you have that. You have the action hero in great shape over there in Bollywood. And based on that, people want to look like these superheroes. They're heroes on the big screen. So then they go out and join the gym. They purchase the supplements and there's a massive growth because of it. But unfortunately, the education isn't keeping up with their passion and with their motivation. So we have to work diligently with our gym franchise and, you know, our seminars that we do and video trainers mm-hmm. who we call our gyms academies just to continue the education so we can keep up with the growth.
Do you think that the supplement companies need to do a better job of educating consumers just in general about what ingredients are in their products or how these things could affect the body or their performance, their recovery, their sleep or whatever? Or do you think it's more on the consumer to do their legwork before they even entertain the idea of purchasing a supplement and they say, hey, I'm thinking about buying pre-caged, you know, what in the hell is caffeine? How is this going to affect me? What's beta-alanine? You know, obviously the companies need to put out some sort of information, but do you think the onus falls more on the consumer that they should be doing their homework before they ever try a supplement?
Yeah, should be the consumer for sure because, you know, for instance, if there's supplement companies out there that have their amino acids, such as their BCAAs or whatever, extracted from human hair or animal byproducts, then they're not going to educate their consumer on that.
Right.
You know, they're going to keep that to themselves. So it's going to be up to the consumer because if the supplement companies were to do a lot of that, mm-hmm. Then the vast, vast majority are not going to sell supplements, you know?
Yeah.
I'd say what I would really like to see is a lot of the distributors not asking for so much margin because then it forces the supplement company to have inferior ingredients. Like I said, we work on very, very sharp margins. A lot of companies are not willing to do that. Mm-hmm. And you know, the reason being is because a lot of the platforms out there require such a large margin in order to incentivize their staff or push it or market it
right.
to do promotional pushes. So, you know, that's, you know, part of the issue, but it definitely needs to be met halfway with the consumer doing their due diligence. Just like if you're going to go out and eat a McDonald's, you better know what you are possibly, you know, eating there or whatever fast food that you're putting into yourself. Like I always tell people, everything that you put into your mouth is either going to heal your future or harm your future.
So that's really well put. Along those lines of educating the consumer, y'all have taken a good step by transparently dosing all of your products and clearly labeling out to consumers, this is how much we have of this ingredient, so on and so forth. We're starting to see consumers asking for third-party testing now of all the batch runs of the products. Do you foresee Cage Muscle doing that in the coming years about just openly posting the third-party lab test reports on the website or anything like that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because, you know, we have all of our products third-party tested. There's no doubt, if anybody wants it, we can provide that. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, for sure. I think it's something that needs to be done in order to create that transparency because, as you know, there's so many companies out there that don't do the test. Correct. You know, and I have to explain, because a lot of people don't even know what a third-party test is. So when I say, well, we have the contract manufacturer test, then we test the test on top of that, yeah, that is showing full disclosure and transparency. And on top of that, we have an authentication code on each one of our products. So people can then see, they can go onto the website, they can put out that code with that batch to see if it was tested. So they can show, okay, I'm not going to put my hands together and hope what is in the jar is actually what is written on the label. It's actually there, and it's been tested.
Can you give, you don't have to give specific dollar amounts, but can you give the listeners a rough idea of how much extra expense it is for companies to go out and do the third-party testing? Because a lot of people say, well, just everybody should be testing it. Can you give some idea into what the added cost is to you on the company side of what y'all have to incur from that?
Yeah, it's several bucks on each SKU. So I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to give you an all-inclusive cost here, because there's other certificates that are very important as well. You know, is the informed sports or the informed choice or, you know, adhering to the Prop 65 Act. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of certs out there that I believe that all brands should have. So when you accumulate all these costs and then the efficacious dosages of certain sourced ingredients, whether they're patented, organic, fermented, whatever, or, you know, you could even talk generic. When you look at one of the top selling pre-workouts out there, it costs $2.80 all in. $2.80. Our pre-workout costs over $20 to make. So that's a comparison. So when I tell people we've got the cheapest supplement line in the world, even though it may not look like that on a retail value,
yeah,
it is the cheapest when you look at what goes into it before it goes onto the production line.
You know? So that $20 is just the raw cost of goods, or is that including the testing and all of the
testing and everything.
Everything, okay, gotcha. Interesting. Since y'all are informed choice and certified for sport, have y'all ever thought about partnering with like collegiate universities or professional sports teams or whatever, since obviously the products that bear that logo contain no banned substances and therefore they could be used by the athletes on those teams? Has there ever been, because I haven't seen any brands really do that, and I'm waiting for the first big performance company to step in and do that.
Yeah, well, we do support a couple of professional athletes.
Right, yeah, I know on the individual basis, but I mean like meeting up with like the New England Patriots or the Saints or like a college football team or something like that.
Yeah, for sure, we can do that. But the thing is, it's just proven to be very risky in the past. A couple of brands, as you know, have done that. Medrex did it, EAS did it, yeah. And, you know, where's EAS now? We have to understand that when you go to a football game and you look around the stadium and you see people eating hot dogs, drinking beers, mm-hmm, are those really your demographic of consumers that want to purchase your supplements?
Right.
Well, probably not. They want to watch a football game. The athletes will take the supplements. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't really, you know, if you look at, for instance, the fitness industry or the bodybuilding industry, per capita a head, those people are taking the supplements every single day. They will get anxious if they don't take their supplements. So it makes more sense that being a company that we are, that we cannot put much money into marketing, that we generate it towards our demographic and then grow outwards from them. Mm-hmm. You know, if we have this conversation in a couple of years' time, maybe that's something that we're looking at. But right now, we're still in the growth stage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not enough people know about us. Again, because we invest in a product and not marketing. So it's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of word of mouth, which is basically how we've grown this far. So mm-hmm, we'll have to see how many people shout from the rooftops over the next couple of years.
Gotcha. The FDA has been coming down with increasing amounts of scrutiny on the supplement industry as a whole. Obviously, y'all aren't dealing with any of those, you know, suspect ingredients or anything like that. But do you think as a whole, when the FDA issues these warning letters, does it have any kind of negative reverberations for companies that are doing the clean route with their products? Have you all faced anything like that?
No, we never face anything like that. Like, we always look to the future. And as I mentioned before, we're always looking at the health aspect of our sports supplements as well as the performance. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't agree with our beliefs in that regards, we don't put it in there. So we don't have any concern whatsoever, and it's never affected us, and it probably never will.
Sure. When y'all are looking for new business partners to or expand your business model, what are y'all particularly looking for? Because obviously you're in bodybuilding.com, you're in several of the other major internet retailers, as well as a bunch of brick and mortars too. What is it that you identify in a business partner that says, yeah, let's get our products into that store or that retailer?
They have to be heavily involved in the educational aspect. They have to be receptive to it. So quite often I'll go out to the GNCs or the vitamin shops and I'll bodybuilding.com and speak to the staff and the sales representatives mm-hmm. and the customer service to ensure that they fully understand everything about the product. We're not another Me Too brand. We cannot be put into that category. Yeah. So if they're very receptive to that and they're not going to bait and switch, you know, bring you in and then switch you over to a company that they get more spiffs on, then we're willing to work with them, you know. That's got to be the main thing. They have to understand the brand because it's usually when I go into a store and speak to the managers or the sales staff that they have that aha moment. Mm-hmm. And then they realize, oh, okay, now I know what that means. Now I understand it. Now I can educate others.
Gotcha. With the products, give us a little bit of an insight into what your daily supplement intake looks like.
Yeah, sure. No worries. Okay, so first thing in the morning, I usually take my Ferredrox. So that's our testosterone support matrix. The reason why we came out with the testosterone support was because I was looking at the statistics of people's testosterone levels over the past 20, 30 years and just seeing a major decline. Now, whether that's to do with stress, artificial lights, EMF, pollutants, contaminants, who knows, could be all of the above. However, it is happening. And, the estrogen seems to be a major problem. Mm-hmm. So that's why we wanted to do that. So I always try to support my testosterone in the morning if I want to feel better, want to have more focus, etc. That's what I'll do. I'll always have glutamine first thing in the morning as well. Mm-hmm. Obviously I've fasted throughout the night. And, I want to top up my glutamine stores that I would have depleted during the night. And usually I'll have amino synergy, which is essential amino acids. And those are fermented essential amino acids. And then I'll usually go and do my cardio. So I've been fasting quite a lot over the past, say, 18 months. Mm-hmm. I want to improve my longevity as well. I've spent 20 years eating 6+ meals a day, which I still do. Not all the time, though. So I control that fast by having my glutamine and my essential amino acids mm-hmm. during that time as well. And then I have my big, I've got it over there, actually. I'll just grab it now, 1 second. So here is my meathead jug that I carry around with me all day. And in that, I also have glutamine. I have HydroCharge, which is our electrolyte and antioxidant formula. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have some branch chain amino acids in there, and I'll have citrulline in there if it's a non-training day. If it's a training day, I don't. And then I'll also have creatine in there as well, and I'll just drip feed that throughout the day. Mm-hmm. So no, I don't try to dose my glutamine or anything like that unless it's first thing in the morning. I actually drip. It's just that much more convenient to me. So I have the majority of my supplements in there, mm-hmm. and then. In regards to other supplements in the morning, I'll take some supplements that help with chelation because there's a lot of heavy metal contaminants out there. And that when I've had my heavy metal contaminants test done over the years, I am a little bit on the higher side. I have the metal fillings in my mouth that I hope to get rid of soon. And I know that's a part of the mercury poisoning. So I do that in the morning. I have a multivitamin in the morning as well. There's a plethora of supplements that I'll take, like my glutathione, my NAD, and mm-hmm. things like that. And then usually sometime around in the early afternoon, I will break my fast, and that will either be with a solid meal or it will be with a protein isolate. Okay. Sometimes if I have raw vegetables when I break my fast, it's a little bit upsetting to my stomach sometimes, not all the time. Mm-hmm. So other times I'll have like a protein, my isolate first, and then I'll have my food about an hour after that. And it seems to settle my stomach for some reason. And then usually in the afternoon as well is when I'll have my workout. So that's about 40 minutes before my workout is when I'll take pre-caged, pre-workout formula. And I drink that with about 20 ounces of water. I like to drink a lot of water. Mm-hmm. Some people don't like it that much, but yeah, that's what I do. And then as soon as I start working out, that's when I take my intra-workout formula. That's Impaged. Yeah. And then I usually drink all of that before I even begin starting my last exercise, you know, because I always want to finish that workout as strong as I begun. And then immediately after my workout is when I have my post-workout formula, and that is Recaged. The one thing that I do add to my pre-workout and post-workout is some creatine. So we have CreaClear that I add to it because my body weight is 220 pounds. So there's not enough creatine in the pre-workout and the post-workout to support that for me. So I always add a scoop to those two. And then just to improve my insulin spike a little bit more post-workout, I'll add a scoop of branched chain amino acids to it. Mm-hmm. And then that's pretty much it until nighttime is when I usually have my casein. I'm just a casein freak because I usually get a bit of a sweet tooth in the evening and I just mix it like a pudding. I'll put some frozen blueberries in there, some chopped mixed nuts, and that's my nurturing and angry food together.
Excellent. I've got a couple of questions about the supplement line in general, in that y'all have CreaClear, so that's the enhanced form of creatine monohydrate y'all have, and y'all also have the creatine HCL. From a business and marketing standpoint, do you see those two as competing or potentially cannibalizing sales from one product or the other?
No, we thought that in the very beginning because that was something that was of concern because when we came across this science behind the CreaClear, which is a dairy membrane that surrounds the creatine molecule that allows it to go in through the stomach so it can help prevent a lot of the IBS issues that people have with creatine monohydrate, me being one of them. So that's why we always had creatine HCL in the beginning because I was never able to take creatine monohydrate. But then when this form came out and I sampled it for about 2 months and realized, hey, this is fine, we realized that the creatine monohydrate is by far the largest selling creatine sector in the world. Yep. So there's a lot of people out there that do take creatine monohydrate and they don't have any problems with their stomach or they just deal with those issues and take it anyway because it is the most studied amino acid and form of that amino acid in the world. So that's when we decided, well, let's provide the creatine monohydrate users with a far more superior bioavailable or soluble creatine. And that's what we did. So we have supplied that for that issue and for that sector. However, there's still a lot of people out there that do like the creatine HCL. There's people out there that like to take both. So we actually provide both of those sectors, and we don't see that much of a crossover. However, we do see some people that have started taking the CreaClear because they were taking the HCL before, and they was never able to take the standard creatine monohydrate. They like the CreaClear, and now they're taking the CreaClear.
Gotcha. With along those same lines, y'all have a BCAA supplement, and then there's also Amino Synergy, which has got. It's got all the essential amino acids in it, but within Precaged and HydroCharge and the BCAAs, it's just the BCAAs, and there might be some taurine or some citrulline in there as well. The same question, have y'all gotten any kind of, because we've seen a big influx of essential amino acid products into the market. Have y'all gotten any more requests to put out, you know, just focusing on EAAs, or do you think the BCAA market is still fairly plump, I guess?
Well, I think more than anything, it comes down to confusion. There's a lot of confusion out there. People don't know the differences between the BCAAs or the essential amino acids. And one of the reasons why we wanted to come out with the essential amino acids, I deal with a lot of vegan clients, a lot of vegetarian clients, and they don't get half the amount of essential amino acids that they need to. And like I said, selfishly, I fast a lot. So I wanted essential amino acids during that time of my fast as well, to ensure that I'm not going through complete catabolism. I wanted to maintain my muscle protein synthesis. So those were the main reasons behind that. And see, this is how I explain it to people. I say, consider branched chain amino acids as your muscle energy. And consider your essential amino acids as your muscle protein synthesis. Okay, so when people kind of consider that, they can understand where to separate them and how to take them. So, you know, generally I'll have the BCAAs taken around the workout, especially post-workout. Mm-hmm. The essential amino acids, usually during your cardio or during your fast, or like I said, if you're a vegan or vegetarian, you need more essential amino acids. Those are the times that you take it. But the BCAAs is definitely still the biggest seller because, you know, it's been around for so many years. People understand it a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. The essential amino acids, they don't sell as much, even though I think they are very, very, very well needed by a lot of consumers. Mm-hmm. I think it just comes down to education.
Perfect. Can you give us a little bit of insight into how the formulation or the development of a new product comes about? Do you get an idea for a product? Is it driven by Brian coming up with a formula? Is it the consumers that have a demand for a certain product category and then y'all haven't put forth an offering in that and then y'all decide to do it? So how do y'all come about deciding when to release a new formula or what that new formula will be?
All of the above, actually. All of the above. So we just put out a post on the Cage Muscle socials a few days ago to ask what people would like next. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we will look at that to see what the majority of people are wanting. And then we'll see if that's something that we can bring out that's better than what's currently out there. Because if we see a company is doing something phenomenal out there already, mm-hmm. then there's no point in us doing it.
Right.
You know, like I said, we don't want to do a Me Too brand. We will only put out a product if we hand on our heart truly believe it's better than anything else that's out there. So then we'll make that decision. So that's why you won't see like a massive line of products from us. Mm-hmm. You know, it is very fragmented. But there's, you know, companies out there that are doing good jobs on certain supplements. So there's no point us going out there. You know, if you look like at the carbohydrate powders, you know, Vitargo mm-hmm. do a phenomenal job with carbohydrates. So are we going to come out with a carb powder? No, probably not, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's usually all of the above. Sometimes, like I said, with the essential amino acids, that was something I really wanted myself. The mm-hmm. testosterone support, that is something I definitely wanted to put out there for myself. But I definitely wanted it out there for the consumers, for my clients, because I could see, you know, because I look at all the blood reports of all my clients. Mm-hmm. I measure my blood glucose 24/7, just different things like that. And I get my clients to as well. So based on, I'd say, a lot of these observational studies that I put out there with my followers and clients, some of those supplements will come about. They will surface. But other times, Brian will see what is needed in the market. And he obviously has his hand on the pulse when it comes to the cutting edge supplements, ingredients, and the technology that's out there. So sometimes he'll bring something to fruition and mm-hmm. it's phenomenal. Like I'm testing a couple of things that he sent over to me on Friday that has never been seen in the sports performance sector. So I'm trying them out at the moment. And if they come out on top, then that is something that we'll look at developing. And we'll look at the margins to see if it can work as well. Because, mm-hmm. again, we like to put out like a Lamborghini, but make it the price of, say, a Mustang or something like that. You know?
Right, yeah. You can make the most premium ultra-dosed formula on the market, but if it costs $100 a bottle, then there's not going to be a market for it. So you've got to find a way, but you've got to strike that balance between bringing innovation and efficaciously dosed products to the market, yet making it affordable for the average consumer to be willing to buy it each month.
Yeah, that's definitely the tough part.
Yeah. I would expect a lot of the feedback is probably going to be either CBD or keto or collagen, because those seem to be like the three largest trends going on in the industry for the past year or so.
Yeah, for sure. Collagen came up there quite a bit, actually. Mm-hmm. Collagen came up quite a bit. And when it comes to keto, that is something that we've definitely looked at, because I don't think it's a fad that's going to go away. I follow like a cyclical keto approach mm-hmm. Sometimes, not all the time. And, you know, you can see how it's helped so many people, you know, whether, you know, like, for instance, my father got diagnosed with cancer of the kidney earlier in the year, got the kidney removed, and, you know, he's okay, but I've got him on a strict keto diet now, mm-hmm. keto protocol. So there's definitely places for it, and it's not going to be a fad. So it is something that we could look at. But again, there's a lot of companies out there doing great forms of caprylic acid, C8, mm-hmm. That can put people into ketosis very well. You know, the BHB salts,
right?
There's people out there doing really, really good jobs there. So, you know, if they're doing real good products out there, then we probably won't bother, you know?
Yeah.
We have to look at it strategically and, you know, logically.
Perfect.
And in regards to CBD, yeah, this is something that's definitely you know, that, that's huge right now. We can see, we've seen that over the past few years. And again, it's kind of like the supplement industry. It's just a minefield, isn't it? You know, so I ensure when I look at the CBD that I take, I ensure that it has all the forms of certificate analysis needed, because there's a lot of companies out there that can't even provide it. Mm-hmm. So I've got a podcast myself, and I've had CBD companies approach me. And when I've asked for these certificates of analysis, they can't give it to me. Mm-hmm. You know, so it goes to show that there's a lot of companies out there that are doing it. They're making a quick buck, but they're not necessarily doing it the right way. And how does a consumer know? You know, unless they're going to ask for those certs of analysis, they're just not.
Right. That's what I've been beating the drum about on this podcast the past couple of weeks, is we've gotten a few CBD related questions. And what have been your personal experiences with using it? Do you get much of an effect from it? And if so, what would those effects be?
Yeah, so I take it. I'm quite an anxious person, and it's very hard for me to switch off sometimes at night. Mm-hmm. So I have found the best approach for me to take CBD is take it one night on, one night off. If I take it every night, it's like I adapt. So I do one night on, one night off, and I have the tincture, and I have to take a minimum of 100 milligram to get an effect. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why I take it. There's some people out there that, you know, I guess it comes down to the different cannabinoids that's in the product as well.
Right.
Some people get positive effects. And my father, he has the balm that he puts on his cream that I mail over to him, mm-hmm. in Wales. And, he's very skeptical, and it works for him. It works, yeah, for him. However, my mother took it for about a month, and she got really depressed on it.
Hmm.
So, she stopped taking it and was fine again.
Yeah.
So everybody's going to be different, and I think everyone's got to try it for themselves. If they feel that they have a need that CBD could possibly help, they'd have to definitely try before they buy.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not a one-size-fits-all.
Yeah. The CBD product you're using, is it an isolate? Is it a full-spectrum, a broad-spectrum oil, or do you happen to know?
It's a full-spectrum.
It's a full-spectrum.
It's a full-spectrum. Okay. Yeah, it's Octagon Labs is a company. They have a 3,000 milligram tincture. It's organic. They have their certificate of analysis. And, you know, the one thing that is a major issue, I'd say, within the CBD industry, and I don't know, maybe this is a legislation where they cannot recommend too much, a certain amount of it. But when they say, you know, you've got to take 10 milligram or 20 milligram, whatever, I'm like, mm-hmm. you're not going to get any effect from that. You have to take a much higher dose.
Correct.
Maybe, you know, as high as 70, or like I said, I take 100.
Yeah, yeah. Most of the studies using CBD isolate just by itself, you need upwards of like 300 milligrams. So, yeah, I'm sure since CBD is still somewhat in a gray area for certain states and in the eyes of the government, they probably have to do that just to do a little CYA measure.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny to me that you'll see these gummies with sugar in it, and you know, sugar is inflammatory, and CBD is supposed to be anti-inflammatory. I'm like, why did they come up with that?
Yeah,
and you know, you'll see it in coffee as well, CBD coffee, and I think, okay, one is supposed to kind of calm you, relax you, and the other one's kind of get you. I don't know. Maybe there's something in there I don't really know. I'm just speaking on face value.
No, I've seen a CBD infused pre-workout too, and it's the same thing. Why in the world are you putting it in coffee or something that is supposed to get me amped up and ready for training? Why do I want something that's going to calm me down? It seems, you know, counterintuitive.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't know why you'd do that, but good luck to them.
I know you're also interested in biohacking to a, you know, a fairly large extent. Do you ever dabble with nootropics or any kind of cognitive enhancing supplements?
Maybe like L-theanine with caffeine, and some, you know, I'll have there's a mushroom lecture. So there's a company called LIDS, and they do, I don't know if you know Lid Hamilton, the big wave surfer. Yeah. So he's got like a line of creamers, and I take those creamers, and he actually has a mushroom elixir that's a creamer as well, and I'll take them. And you know, creatine is a nootropic as well.
Yep.
So if you want to class that, I'll take that too, but that's pretty much it.
Okay, excellent. Well, Chris, I know we've got a tight time window to keep you to, so I would like to thank you for joining the podcast today, man. This was a real treat. I would if you can give the consumers what they can expect from Caged Muscle in 2020 as far as potential product releases? Maybe, or just drop some hints. You don't have to get too specific if you don't want to give away the recipe.
I'll give you a little bit of specificity there. Well, I can tell you, you know, guarantee that we actually will have a multivitamin out next year. So, you know, this is going to be very different, where we will have the efficacious dosages of the vitamins and the minerals needed for the athletes. And, you know, this will be an organically grown product, mm-hmm. as opposed to synthetic made in a lab. And that will be veggie cap as well. We'll also probably be looking at maybe a krill oil will be out next year as well. And a plant-based protein we'll have. And we're looking at a couple of different types of pre-workouts as well. And that's what I can't get specific about.
Gotcha. Excellent. I'm very excited to see the upcoming releases. And then this is the point of the show where you can shamelessly plug anything and everything you want to about Cage Muscle and why people should make that their supplement brand of choice. So go ahead.
Yes, for sure. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Well, yeah, you know, check out Cage Muscle. Like, what I always tell people is, like, I can tell you that Cage Muscle is the best, but look, are you going to believe me? That's why I tell people, just do your research. Go onto the website, check it out. We do have a new challenge that will be going out January 6th. It's available now for people to sign up. So I, over a daily video trainer, over 12 weeks, I transform both a male and a female, because people would always point at me and say, well, you've been a bodybuilder, or you work out for a living, or you own a supplement company, all these excuses. So I put two people, one was a mother, another one is quite a well-known DJ. He travels a lot. So over the 12 weeks, I transformed both of those people, and that actually goes out January 6th. But people can sign up for that challenge now to win some cash. We'll fly him out to train here as well. So, you know, look at that content and look at all the other content that we have, and then you can make your own unbiased decision whether you want to purchase from us or not.
Perfect. Well, I'll include links to the brand, your social media, and the transformation challenge in the show notes for everything. So thank you again for this, Chris. This was awesome. And hopefully we can get you back on the show, because I'd like to delve into some training and other lifestyle stuff with you on a future podcast.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I'm here, buddy. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Great. Awesome. Well, thank you again, Chris, and have a good day.
And you, sir.